Today is Easter Sunday, so I wish all of you a very blessed Easter. So the epistle for Easter Sunday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, and that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who said to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Please be seated. Today the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Obviously, we know with the resurrection of our Lord, it is kind of the culmination of our faith. St. Paul said, if our Lord had not risen from the dead, our faith would be in vain. So during this week and the readings that I were doing over for Holy Week, I ran across some thoughts on the burial of our Lord and then obviously his resurrection. With our Lord's death on the cross, we say that, in a sense, death lost his dominion over us. Because with our Lord's dying on the cross, he opened up heaven for us, gave us the chance to get to heaven, to live for all eternity. So in that aspect, in that sense, yes, death lost some dominion over us. And so with that, when we consider all the events of the sacred Triduum, I mean, one of the things for us to also consider and to think about is how then when our Lord, by dying on the cross, a lot of different events took place at that point. You know, for one, we think about how the sun's light was darkened because when our Lord died on the cross, the temple, in a sense, the veil was ripped to show in some ways that these holy places were no longer sacred to our Lord. But all of this, our Lord suffered on his own will, his willingness to do so. And so with that, we can easily say that he overcame the evil by the goodness and the love that he had for us. And so it's interesting to see how that our Lord even, and this is one of the things I mentioned on Good Friday, that he took defense for those that, his enemies, those that went to kill him, that he took the defense of asking for Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they don't truly understand and to what point that they are doing this. And so our Lord asked and begged God's forgiveness for them. That was the first word from the cross. But then, obviously, our Lord was enclosed in the tomb, and we were to wait for our Lord to rise again. But it's interesting to see how, then for the Jews especially, they were afraid that our Lord would rise again. So that's what they tell them. They say, well, make sure that it's well guarded so he doesn't try to rise again. This being frightened and fearful over of one who is dead. And so that's where you can ask the question, if they really thought that he was just a mere man and he was not the true Messiah, why are they so fearful of him rising from the dead? I mean, granted, yes, there was the concern that the apostle would try to steal our Lord so it would prove that he risen from the dead. But it is a point for us to look at and to consider. Here you have them, they were so fearful of the fact that our Lord would rise again. One that they just killed, one that they just put in a tomb. Why was there such a concern over that? In a way, why has anyone seen anyone struck by death causing fear to those that have slain them? Why would there be so much of a concern at that point? Unless, yes, they realized that they killed the true Messiah. And that's where the interesting point comes. They denied the true Messiah. They denied the God-man who came into this world to redeem mankind because it was not the kind of king that they wanted. Out of their pride, they wanted more of a material king. But it's interesting to see of how fearful they were of our Lord. If he was just a mere man, if he was just this person that proclaimed himself to be God, that they said blasphemed, that at times they would take up rocks to try to stone him, why are they so fearful of him then following through what he said he would do? And that's what's so important for us to realize that our Lord did. Just as the holy women went to anoint our Lord, they even had some doubt in their mind of wondering and seeing, okay, when we go, who's going to roll back the stone? And yet when they go there, they find that the stone has already been rolled back because our Lord has risen from the dead, as he said. And so these are things for us to contemplate at this end of, obviously, the Lenten season. We ended it last night, the sacred 3 days, the sacred Triduum. But it's good for us to reflect back upon these points. Because as I say, for us, the pinnacle of our faith is the resurrection of our Lord. That is why Easter is considered the greatest of the liturgical feast. Because our faith would be completely in vain. It would amount to nothing if our Lord never resurrected from the dead. If his words were a lie. And so that's what's important for us to contemplate then on this day. These words of our Lord where he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. For them, that's what they had against our Lord of saying. How could he do that? Because for them, they were considering only the material temple. Our Lord was referring to the temple of the body, his own. And that's what he was saying, in 3 days I will raise it up. And so that's where they waged a war against God. And they realize the consequences of that too late. But for us, we take all of these things, we consider all of these things, and it's a point that, yes, a lot of times maybe we don't even consider. Why was there such a fear over that? But yes, probably they realized what they had done. And then they just didn't want other people to believe in that. But when you wage war against God, you lose the battle. And so that's where it's important for us to obviously know that the resurrection would never have been stopped. What our Lord said he came to do, he would do. And so that's where then it's the pinnacle of our faith for us. And that's where we celebrate and we rejoice in this fact now. In this liturgy now of Paschaltide, there is the true rejoicing over the fact of our Lord resurrecting from the dead. The Alleluias come back out, the Gloria, all of these things because we rejoice over the fact of our Lord fulfilling what he said he would do. And so that is what is extended out and held out to all of us. Just as our Lord resurrected from the dead, we are meant to rise with Christ. I mean, that's where you see throughout the liturgy again, it's talking about the old man being defeated, that we put on the new man in Christ. So God willing that we have spent our Lent trying to put aside the old man, putting on the new man. Hopefully we spent that time, made a good confession, had the opportunity for that. And there were many numerous opportunities for confessions. So hopefully we've taken advantage of that so that we can start new with Christ. In a sense that we truly rise with Christ also. And that's where, I mean, we see that our Lord had power over death. One even showed that to the Jews beforehand with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I mean, even his sisters said, okay, don't roll back the stone for him because he stinketh, because he's been dead for so long. But our Lord immediately told him to come out and walk. And so Lazarus does. Our Lord shows to the Jews that he has this power over death. This is a foretaste of when he will rise from the dead. They can do all that they want. They can put guards at his tomb. They can seal the tomb. They can do everything that they want to try to stop him, but they will never be able to stop him. And so that's our consolation and understanding, that our Lord has this victory over death, victory over sin, victory over the devil. And so therefore, for us, we believe in that, we trust in that, we hope in that, the hope in the resurrection. And that's what we have at the funeral masses itself, in the preface of the funeral masses. So we truly hope in our resurrection. But we have to try to spend this time here on earth in putting it more than just a hope. That it is a true belief that we have, and we follow that belief. And so, as I say, hopefully we had spent that time during Lent preparing ourselves for this great feast to rejoice. That it's not just empty words for us. That it is a true rejoicing over the fact that our Lord is truly risen from the dead. And through that rising from the dead, he will also help us. But that's where you see with the Jews, they had eyes, but they saw not. God willing, we have the eyes to see, to truly see this. To see it, but then also to believe it. And to put that into practice every day of our life. And so in some ways, yes, God blinded the minds of the unbelievers, those that did not want to hear, those that did not want to see. And God willing for us, we are not a part of that. So as I say, let us truly rejoice with the liturgy in today, that this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice over that fact. But let us not only rejoice in the fact of outwardly, but also internally, that we rejoice in the fact that Christ is truly risen. Because that is our hope, as we say in the sequence, Christ, my hope, is arisen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.